chapter 4, and they do have some misstatements in them. So I'm going to go in, and under chapter 4, there were those if statements. And I think the only one we looked at was project intro if. So we went through that one already. And so I'm going to pick up the other three and look at those. And because I was out, there is a bunch of stuff about those in here, so you can look at them. I'm still going to go through them, but just probably not quite as much detail. So if you have any questions, I put up the, I'm going to be out today, so therefore look at these. And I forgot to turn on Visual Studio, which we've decided we should all do the minute we walk in. But
not too many people talking.
Huh? Yeah, that's right. So I didn't turn it on. So it's going to go and go and go and go. If you run into problems with the if statement, send me one if you're having problems with it. Because I don't have anything to do this weekend either.
The in-class ifs, I still can't get 6.
Right, well, is
that's driving.
Oh, 6 and 7.
Yeah, you guys,
okay.
You do all the rest of the class, you want us to do 6 and 7.
Right.
And 6 is still driving crazy.
Okay.
That's,
I'll take a quick look at it if you remind me at the end. Okay, we are patiently waiting for Visual Studio to come up. Or not so patiently, as the case may be. I think we've got it. Nope, not quite. Has anybody been more successful than I am?
Yeah, mine is over.
Come on, we can do it. Good heavens. You sure you want to change from VB6? Actually, I liked VB6 better than this in some ways. The one is many dot this, dot this, dot this that I had to try to remember what they were. VB6 was, there you are, I think we've actually got it. No, I guess not. There you are. Okay, so file and the project that I'm going to look at. Again, if you download them, you would have them when you came in here. But the first one I'm going to look at is Chapter 4 and Radio Check. Okay. Good Lord. Okay, so what I've got here is I've got a series of radio buttons and I've got a series of checkboxes. The easy way to make sure that the radio buttons all stick together is to enclose them in the box. So what I've got around these is a group store. And if you put them in the group store, then it's very clear that these all go together. And that's especially true if I want to use radio buttons two places on my form. Okay, because if I put them random places on the form, it apparently decides that they're grouped. And read that in your book. I don't do that. I don't trust it. So I basically always put them in a group box. Because with radio buttons, you essentially want to have just one of them be checkable. Whereas with check boxes, you can have them all checked. So in fact, I put those in a group box too, but that's not as important because I can have all of those checked. Okay, so I put them in, then I dragged over the radio button and put them inside the box. Okay, so now what I've got, if I look at my code, is I started out and I said, okay, to calculate, I first asked if check blue.true is check. Okay, so I was basically looking now at the muffins. So I'm looking at the check boxes. So check blue is the blueberry muffin checkbox. Check pumpkin is the pumpkin checkbox, and so forth. And I went down and checked the muffins as I was going. Now, I was lazy. And I say that a lot, but it's true. So I have one quantity box. So my customers are out of luck. If they want two of one thing and three of another, sorry, I can't do that. If you want two of one thing, you get two of everything. Okay, so obviously if I wasn't feeling lazy, I could have put boxes here for quantity of blueberry, quantity of pumpkin, and so forth. But as I said, I decided that this myth about being nice to the customers or the customer wins, nah, I only want one box. So anyway, so that quantity box is what I'm using here, and I'm saying take the quantity box and I'm multiplying it by the cost of the different muffins. So what I've got here is I've said dim work total as double. And I came down, and if they check blueberry, then I'm taking 0.8 and multiplying it by the quantity and adding it to the total. Well, my total is going to be zero to start out with because I've just defined it. And when I define it, it gives it zero. If I wanted to be doubly sure, I could have said equals zero on that definition. But the new definition of a numeric will make it zero. Okay, but if I don't trust that, I can set it equal to zero. So every time they calculate, I want to start out getting a new total because it's a new customer. Okay, so I want to start out with a new total because it's a new customer. So I'm taking in, if they check blueberry, I'm doing the calculation and taking what's in work total, which is a zero, adding this amount and putting it back to work total. So then they go down, and if they check pumpkin, they will do another calculation and add that to work total. If they didn't check chocolate, it gets skipped. If they didn't catch grain, it gets skipped. Now notice I did those with all separate ifs because I want to check each checkbox individually. This isn't if they check blueberry, I don't have to check anything else. Okay, so I did them as individual checkboxes, individual if statements rather, so that I checked each one individually. So I'm saying if check blue.checked equals true, meaning if that box is checked, then do that calculation. Okay, so after I finished with all of these, I came down. And I said, okay, if the radio button for Main Street is checked, then I'm going to charge you more than any place else, okay? I must have decided that Main Street had more money so I could get an extra 5% out of them. So I'm going to take and make the total go up to 1.05. If they are on Ellsbury Street, they're students, so I'm giving them a break. And I'm dropping it by 5%. And whatever the third choice was, nothing changes. Okay? Now, this one was an else, if else, because they could only have one radio button checked. I actually could have asked separates, but I just decided to use that in if else. Then I converted the total to string and put in the currency and put it out. And then I have a message box. And we're going to run this so you can see what the message box does. Okay, so we'll assume that I've got presidents checked because that doesn't add or subtract. And we'll go with blueberry and pumpkin and a quantity of 3. And so I calculate. So it comes up here and says, is your order correct? And notice that message box, the message box dot show. Okay? The is your order correct is the message that gets written in the middle of the box. Comma, and this is what gets written up in the header of the box. Commer, this is the kind of button I want. I want an okay and a cancel on the button. Comma, I want the icon to be a question mark. Okay, and you can go and reference and look all of these up. I don't have any clue what all of the different icons you can put are. But you can go and look them up. So this is basically putting up that message box. And I've told you that message box had a lot of extras that you can do, and this kind of shows you. So I can choose the type of message box. I picked OK Cancel. I can choose the text that's in it, the text that's in the header, and the icon that I put up. Okay, and I think there's some other things you can probably do as well. So, if my order is correct and I click OK, then I'm all set and I'm done. If I click cancel, however, the next thing comes up because it's saying there, if message answer, okay, and message answer is defined up here, and message answer is going to know whether they clicked okay or cancel. Okay? So message answer has whether they clicked OK or canceled. So now I'm saying if message answer equals, and this is what I said when I said that this version of Visual Basic drives me crazy. If you think I'm going to remember that line there, I'm not. I've got to look it up. Okay, if I wrote it every day for every year, but anyway. So it's if windows.forms.dialogresult.cancel. Okay? So I'm asking on the window, on the form, the dialog result, meaning what came back from this, dot cancel. Then, if that's true, then I am going to clear out the total and put up a message box telling me that it was canceled. Okay, so I'm going to cancel this. So I'm going to click the cancel button. And I now get your order. Notice total has gone away. And your order for $4.95 has been canceled. So I'm putting up the message box again. And this one is saying your order for. And then I've concatenated that with work total, which has been converted to a string. I'm concatenating that with the control character, carriage control line P, which gets me down to the next line. And I'm concatenating that with has been canceled. So I'm writing out a message box that tells them that the order has been canceled. Okay? And if. Yeah.
For the two-string C, is there a difference between the capital C and the lowercase C?
Apparently not, because I just did a lowercase C here and I did an uppercase C before. So apparently it lets me. Good question. Let's try it. So I will change that to an uppercase C. I think I usually use an uppercase C. Yeah, I did up a further up. Looks fine. So, no, there is no difference. Okay. So, that's how that works. Questions?
What's that control character, CRLF?
That's carriage control line feed, and it moved it down to the next line.
All right, same thing as like that. Just another way of writing.
It's just another way of writing, like, BR in HTML or something, yeah. It's just a way of going down to the next line. And as I said, that's my biggest complaint about Visual Basic is that they're so word-heavy. I mean, my first programming language was COBOL, which was a lovely language, but it was very word-heavy. And everybody yapped about how word heavy it was. And then C, comparatively, is very light. And now Visual Basic, I swear, they used to be light. And now they're adding and adding and adding. And very frankly, I think they're worse than COBOL now. And as far as the heavy use of words, that I've got to remember what words they are or spend a lot of looking up. You know, somebody said that their goal was to be able to write code without looking at a book. Well, that's not one of my codes, my goals. You know, my goal is to have books that I can easily access and find information in. And my other goal would be to have them fix up help. Because help, back on version 6, I thought their help was quite good. Now their help, as far as I'm concerned, is tedious. It's tedious. You know, I tend to go to other sites before I go to their site when I'm doing, you know, an online search for something. And that should tell them something because you get a lot of comments about the fact that people make the comment that they look other places. And that should tell them something about their help. But anyway. So when I clear things out, I just say checked, set it to false. So the checked can be true or false. Okay, and in this case I set it to false, which unchecks them, and I can obviously have an if statement that checks to see if it's unchecked, if that's what I wanted to do. I was checking to see if things were checked, but I could have been checking to see if things were unchecked. Questions? Okay. The next one. I don't remember which one I wanted to do next. We'll go with input validation and then we'll do the other. I don't think it matters. Okay, this one up at the top uses the try. And again, what the try does is if I anticipate things might crash, the try is a good thing to do. So I write the word try and then I write the word catch. And if the error that I anticipated might happen, then instead of crashing, it does the catch and does whatever code I put in there. Okay, so if it's the kind of thing where you anticipate that it might be causing a crash, then the try-catch is just a really nice thing to do for it. Down on the bottom one, and then I'll look at the middle one. Down on the bottom one, obviously, if I want to check a range, and I want, basically what we're doing here is some very simple validation. So if I'm checking a range, I say work price greater than zero and work price less than 100. Okay, so I then go and process. If it's not, then I put out a message that says the price is out of range. The other one up here, I'm going to run. Okay, so this is button integer TP click. And I am entering, well, I'll put 12 there and click. That got converted. Okay. And then if I check click integer to parse, it parses it. And if I put in down here a price of 2 and a quantity of 2 and say calculate, it tells me $4. But if I had put in a price of 102 and click calculate, it would have told me that there was a problem. Okay, so if I put in here instead A12 and try to click, it tells me it's an error. So it caught that error. Okay, so that was the try and the catch has now caught the error. And the other way of doing it is integer try pass also told me there was a problem. Okay, so you can see it came up with a problem. And if I put 12 there and say click, it's converted, click, it now says okay. And if I put 12.67 up there and say click, it says converted, and here it says problem. So it's not an integer, and so it gives me problem. Okay. I'm not real fond of that one. I like the try and catch. But this one I'm not real fond of, and in fact, I don't think I've ever used it except that the book did, so I did it. Okay. And the last one, open project, is decisions. Okay, so in this one, I've got a if is numeric check. So I am saying if it's numeric, do all of those kinds of things. If it's not, then drop down to the else. So what I've got is I want the user to type in a grade, and I want to tell them where the person is in school. And I decided that kindergarten, and I decided I wanted to handle that separately, that it was legitimate to type in a K for kindergarten. Notice here, your question about C and everything, but here I said, take what they type in and convert it to lowercase, and then compare to a lowercase K. I could have said to upper. And then it would have converted it to uppercase, and I could have compared it to an uppercase K. Okay? So I'm doing the conversion, which makes it easy, and it's almost a necessity. If you ask people to type in a letter code, it's almost a necessity that you convert it, because they're not going to do it right. So you really want to convert it over and check it. Okay? So, I've got a name of John Doe, and I said get name, and John Doe comes up a gazillion times, and 8, and we'll look at what's happening there. And then I said grade. So if I enter a 5 there and say click for grade, it says elementary school. If I enter a capital K there and click for grade, it says kindergarten. If I click if I put an M there and click for grade, it says invalid entry. Okay. So I've basically said here, if, and this is a perfect structure for the if else if. It's also good for case structure. So I'm saying if it's greater than 12, then say college. Else if, say high school. Else if, say middle school. And then I go down through end if. And if it's not numeric, then I go and ask about kindergarten. So if it's numeric, I proceed to try to find out what grade it is. If they're not numeric, I ask if it's kindergarten. Okay. Now, the get name does some trimming. So if I typed in here, space, and Fox. Why did I bother to fix that anyway? Then I say get name, okay? If I trim it, I got rid of the leading spaces. So that second line down is a result of my saying trim. Okay, so I came in here and said I wanted to trim the name. So if you look at this, I said dim the work name. If it's empty, put out nothing entered. Else, trim it and store it in work name. And then I put work name in here. So that trim it trimmed it down and got rid of the leading spaces. If you happen to want to get rid of leading spaces. Okay. And the dot length tells me how long the field is. So once I get rid of the spaces, the name is 7 characters. And space Fox is 7 characters. So the length was being done on the trimmed name. So I was finding out how long the length was. Okay. So that's just telling me. And those are different things that if you're working with data, especially the length thing, and we're going to be looking at some examples. Yeah.
I just want to let you know, we're going to be K205 now, which has been moved due to a meeting.
Okay.
From K118, so I just want to let you all know.
Okay.
Sorry for the interruption.
Okay, no, that's fine. and I will put a note on the door. So you've got a 7 there that tells the length. And lots of times you do want to figure out length. We're going to do a little bit of manipulation of data as we go along. And one of the things that I'm going to do is have you find different characters and then use, so go inside data. You've got a string of data that the person entered. Find the space. You know, find different characters. And we're going to look at that, but not today. Okay, but length ends up being one of the things. Well, actually, we are going to look at it today. I forgot this was there. I thought it was next week. Okay. So if we come down here on the next example. Okay. What I'm doing there is I am typing in a building. So I'll type in K112. Okay, that's my office. So I'm typing in K-112. For some reason, I've decided that I want to extract the number from this. So the first thing I need to do is I need to find the hyphen. Okay, so I'm saying work hyphen equals work location dot index of hyphen. So I'm saying find the hyphen. And I want to know the index of the hyphen, which means I want to know the location of the hyphen. Okay, I want to know the index of the hyphen, which means I want to know the location. So let's change this and put in here a message box, and I'm going to ask it to tell me what work hyphen is. Okay? So I'm just putting in a message box and saying, tell me what work hyphen is. So now I'm going to run this again, and I'm going to put K112 in there. K-112, sorry about that. And it says get just number. So look what it's coming back with. It's coming back with the index location. Now indexes start with zero. So the K would be in the zero position and the hyphen is in the first position. So the K is in the zeroth position. Visual Basic back, and it may be version 6, used to let the programmer decide what the index started with, whether the index started with 0 or whether it started with 1. And then they kind of decided to establish their rules. So if I go back here, and let's say, for example, that I put in also oh, I didn't stop running. Good job. So I'm going to look now for the K. So again, I'm putting in here K-112, and it comes back with a zero. Okay, so just to prove to you that the K is in the zeroth position. And again, indexes start with zero. So this comes back with the zero. And then I'm saying, okay, now go ahead and find the hyphen. And so it comes back with the one. And then I'm saying, I want to see the number. It's 112. And the way I did that was I said a substring. Okay. So I said, okay, work location. And this is work location, or actually work location someplace else. I put text location and work location. So it's sitting in memory. And I said, take work location, which has the K-112. Dot substring, take the value of work hyphen, which is a 1, add 1 to it, which gets me a 2, and I want to take the substring that starts with 2. So I'm saying take the substring that starts with 2. So look at work location. Work location has in it K112. And I said, okay, now take the substring in the second position. Well, that's the second. So it takes that substring. And since there's nothing else in substring, it takes until the end. If I wanted to only take 2 characters, I can change that and put in a number, and it will only take 2 characters. Okay. So if I come over here and I change this, yes, I need to close the ink layer, and I put in here (2). Put in here (2), and then run it. and put in the K-112 and say get the number, and it's giving me the 0 and the 1, and now it's just giving me the 1-1. Because when I said the 2 here, this tells me how many characters. And if I don't put anything there, it takes it to the end. So if there's no comma something, it says, oh, you want it from that point to the end. You're telling me the starting position, and you want it to the end. Okay? So this part here is the start, and then the comma is how many. And if there's no comma, no comma means till the end. Go all the way to the end. Okay? And that's one of the things that you have to do periodically is look at something and extract data. You know, one of the examples is lots of times an item number is made up of different pieces of data. It might have a department number in it. It might have a product line in it. It may have different things in the item number. And you know that in the fifth and the sixth character, you're going to find what you're looking for. So you can do a substring and go into the fifth character and take two characters or three characters or however you want and get the information about what line of product it is or what vendor it came from or whatever it is that you want that you're extracting from the ID number. Questions? Okay. And then the last one is redoing what I did up at the top, but using the case structure. So, Dave, there's the case structure. Okay. So I am redoing the check for the grades, but this time I'm using the case structure. So up at the above, I did the if else. Now I'm doing the case. So I'm saying whatever they typed in, as long as it's numeric, put it in word case grade. And then I'm saying select case, word case grade. That means check word case grade. And if it's greater than 12, put out college. If it's greater than 8, put out high school. If it's 7, 8, meaning one of those, put out middle school. If it's 1 to 6, inclusive, put out elementary school. Otherwise, need to check, although really there is no other case for numerics. Well, I guess somebody could have put in a negative number, and then you'd have to need to check.
Put in 0, it's different.
That's true. 0 should give you need to check, does it?
You don't want to give you elementary school.
Say that, 0 gives you elementary school?
Yeah. One click for grade.
Harumph. I don't think that should be true. Let's try it. Okay, so I'm going to put in, first of all, grade 6, and that gives me elementary school. And now I'm putting in 0, and you're right. I claim that should give me need to check, because that says 1 to 6, inclusive. Huh. I'm pretty sure that didn't used to be true, mainly because I kind of trust myself, and I usually don't put something up there that doesn't work.
Well, in the code book, the grade you put this check. You got text grade word dot text equals elementary school, and if else, and then it's the, if it's a letter.
Yeah, but if I put in a 0, it's not greater than 12, it's not greater than 8, it's not 7 or 8, and it's not 1 to 6. So a 0 should be getting need to check.
Even though it's not in the code?
Well, I've got the case else. I've got that else, which means basically catch anything else.
Well, if you use the use case, it says needs check. But the click for grade button is the one that says elementary certain. If you click the use case, it's going to tell you needs check.
And the first case is the if statement.
Oh, well. Yes. That's known as, it's been one of those days. Yeah.
All right, so it's because it's not there, that's why it's not popping up.
Right. Because, wait a minute, when I click on click for grade, then I do this one, and that one did not have an else in there.
That's why I was asking, because you were clicking the button. All right.
Yes, yes.
I thought I was going crazy for a minute.
No, I'm going crazy, but we won't even go there. In this one, I didn't cover the idea of it could be a zero. I could have put in there, you know, more code and then had an else that did the zero. But that's not what I did, so you're right. That one should have done nothing.
Six, that's it. So it's less than six.
That's right.
So.
Because I'm saying less than six, and I'm saying anything less than six. If I cared about that, then I should put in there the less than six and greater than zero. And if I wrote less than six, I would probably do it the other way around. If it's greater than zero and less than six, whatever. I'm not saying that right, but you get my idea anyway. What?
If you did less than six and greater than zero, would you have to put that in parentheses?
No. So if I come in here and I say, if, else if, and I just say greater than six, or text grade is less than zero, that's what I could just write. Okay, if it's greater than six, or it's less than one, sorry. If it's less than one, put out middle school, else put out elementary school. But then on the one down below, for some reason I decided to catch those. And I just was clicking the wrong button. And, yeah, right. So I was catching the need to check. And the case lends itself that way because case 1 to 6 is a lot easier than going back and saying if it's greater than 0 and less than 6 or less than 7. It's a lot easier to catch it this way. Okay? So I put it in there as the need to check, and it actually worked, and I'm glad somebody told me that I was hitting the wrong button. Okay, so basically these are two ways to handle it, and I didn't handle them exactly the same. Okay.
Is there a preferred method for doing it?
I don't think so on this. I think either one is fine. Case and else if are really considered very much two similar ways of doing it. And else if is the one that you're talking about, that else if does not need that sequence of if statements. When you said the end if, I've got an if, then when I write else if as one word, I only need one end if. If I wrote it as else, and then another if statement, else another if statement, else another if statement. I gotta have end ifs for all those if statements.
So with the else if, you can still ask like an and question or an or?
Yes. 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 So if we put in here, if text grade is greater than six, okay? No, that's not the one I want. I guess I want another else if. If text grade, what am I going to write? Right now, it's just actually, that's not going to help because I'm just going to write greater than zero. But yes, you can put a compound in there on the else if. Because what I need to put in here is else if text grade is greater than zero, which would be elementary school, and then put in another else.
So that else would be better.
Okay, let's keep that under control, please. And then I can put another else in here. And this is where I can put it. Only I didn't put the dot text there. And this is where I can put out the message of text grade word dot text equals not in school or problem or whatever it is that I want to put in there. Okay, so I can put out there text grade word dot text equals nope. Oh, I'm doing so well today. 1, 2, 3. There. Have I got it? Yes. Okay, so now if I run this and I put in 0 and I click on check for grade, it says nope. And if I click on use case, it says need to check. Okay. So I've got both of them going on now. But yes, you could have put a compound. Questions?
How many compounds can you have in if question?
I don't think there's a limit. I mean, pretty soon you run out of room. But I don't think there's a limit. I've never encountered one. But I've never written more than 6 or 7, I don't think. And I would be no more than that, I'm sure. I don't know. If I got that high, I think I'd start wondering what I was doing. Okay, so that covers those. Now, the thing I wanted to mention is, as we go along, we're going to be looking at some of the things under VB.net. And VB.net has a lot of good examples. Back then, I apparently decided to give you the code, the written code, so you can see in either the Word or the HTML or the programs are zipped. Okay, so you've got two options to get to those. I've got the if examples, and then I did one with a file. And I basically went through the file stuff and went back and did two examples. This if example with files that I have in there is a really old example. And if you run it, it's going to tell you basically that it's got to convert it and you're not going to be able to use it under the old version. Okay? And that's what I did back on the handout that I put up. Using files. And that's what it came up with, was that thing that said it wouldn't work. Okay? And obviously you can make these bigger by clicking on the plus and zoom them up so you can read them a little bit better. But it basically gave you this one-way upgrade, which said basically this is too old. We can fix it for you, but you're not going to be able to go back and run it under the old version once we fixed it. And then they go ahead and fix it, and it works just fine. Okay? And I went through that in this handout, so I would like you to go through that. That was the kind of Tuesday miss. So I'd like you to go through that. And the other example that I have in there is the files that I did in Visual Basic 120. I have an example in 120 that's a little more recent. And so that was the second one I did in that handout. So I'd like you to go through it. If you have any questions about it, we'll look at it next Tuesday rather, but I want to move on. So you can go and look at that. And I put the place where I got it in VB 120, I put a picture of the screen so you could see it. Okay, the other thing I want to look in here is the break processing. Okay. And so that's what I want to look at next. Now, under presentations, I have a presentation on break processing. Okay, it's not there. It's apparently here. No. Here? Yeah, I think it's there. That other one I forgot has got a dead link now. But this is the one that you want. It's under loops, breaks, and combo. I'm going to go and bring it up because I copied it, I hope. I didn't. I could have sworn I put it in there.
Break processing?
I could have sworn I put it in. 12, 12. Apparently I didn't. Okay, so I'm going to have to unzip this, and I hate unzipping in here. Break, combo, val. And it opened? Really? Ooh. As I said, I hate the way this... You're right. Like, that's what I can do at home. I didn't think I could do it here. So just double-click it. Thank you. That's what I did at home. Did it open all the way for you?
I think so.
Yeah, there it is. Okay, so that's the handout on break processing. Okay. So, what I've got is I have a series of records. And they say department, that's the department number, and this is the amount. And I decided what break processing means is I want to print a total when the department number changes. Okay, I want to print a total when the department number changes. So, this is what I want my report to look like. When the department number changes, I want to print out a total. Then I want to start the next department. When it changes, I want to print out a total. Then the next department, I want to print out a total. And then I want a final total when I'm all done. Okay? So, okay. This is, when I run a program, this is what it would come out as, the totals. And I don't think I have the program for this. I have the more complicated program in a minute we're going to look at. Okay, so break processing involves printing totals when there's a change in the processing control caused by a new number. So when a break occurs, I want to write out the totals. Okay? So, in order to do this, the input file must be in order by the control number. A hold area must be established to hold the control number to compare against. And when a break occurs, the total line is written. The minor accumulator, which is keeping track of the total for Department 12, will be zeroed out so that I can start it new for Department 15. And the hold area will be reset. Okay, so what that basically means is, this is my logic. I basically am inputting a department number and amount. And I check the whole department. And if, let's say, department 12 was in the whole department, if it's no longer equal, then I know a break has happened. And if a break has happened, I need to write the line and reset it. If the break hasn't happened, then I'm just going to add to the totals. So looking back up here at the numbers, what happens is I start out and I put the 12 in the hold area. So I have my 12 sitting in my hold area. So I read the first record and I put the 12 in the hold area. And I add to my accumulator the 500. Then I read the next record and I compare. Is it still 12? Yes, it is. So I add and this becomes 600. And then I read the next number. Is it still 12? Yes. So I add and it becomes 50. 650. Then I read this one. And when I compare, a break happened. Okay, so when I compare, the break happened. So that means I write the line out. There's my 650. I write it out. And then I say, okay, now I'm going to take and change this hold area to 15 because the next record has a 15. And I'm going to change this to 0 because I'm starting brand new. And if I want to keep the final total, then I keep another total area for the final total. So I have the 650 and I don't zero that one out. I keep adding if I'm going for final totals. This would be the minor total. So that's what I do. Okay. Now, lots of times you have more than one thing you want to break on. Where's a set of numbers? I'm looking for a set of numbers. Yeah. I might have three things that I wanted to break on. Okay, so for this particular one, I have three different things that I want to break on. Their department, their branch, and their division. Okay, so I'm coming in with department and branch and division. And so I start out and I have the data sorted. I should write those three down. This is the division, this is the branch, and this is the department. So I might have the East Coast Division and the West Coast Division. And on the East Coast, I have a branch in Boston and a branch in New York. And then within the branch, I have the department for this and the department for something else. I have different departments. And I want to break every time things change. Okay? So if you look at this, I have to sort them in order by division number, and then branch within division, and then department within branch. So I've done a three-level sort. Okay, now, most every company will have a sort program that will let you sort the data, so you don't have to write a sort. A sort is a pain in the neck to write. And you can do a sort on the data and get it in order. Okay, so I'm starting out here, and the 327s, I have to have a hold area for all three. So I have a hold area for the division, which has a 3 in it, and a hold area, which has a 24 for the branch, and this is a 27. Okay? Okay. So I read and I compare, and the first three are all the same, so I'm adding up their totals, making it 1,300. Right?
Right.
And then the number changes to 28. So I write out the total for 27, for Department 27, and I change this to now say 28. And I go ahead and accumulate for Department 28. When both of these change, when I have both a branch and a department, I print out the Department 28 total, the branch 24 total, and I change those and continue on. So if the department is the only thing that changes, I put out a department total. If the branch and the department change, I put out a branch and a department total. Okay? And I keep going like that. So you can see that first one had a 1,300, and you can see the 1,300 over here. Then Department 28 was 1045. The branch also changed, so that would be 2,345, the total from the two. Okay? And sometimes companies will want this information and they won't want the detail, they just want the totals. How did the department do? How did the branch do? How did the division do? And so you can just eliminate writing the detail and just write out the totals. I mean, does the logic of this make sense of what you have to accomplish? Okay. This PowerPoint, as I said, was written a long time ago, but the logic is the same and I haven't rewritten it. Okay. So now if I go back to the code, there is a break and validation code. And if you look inside there, you will find the break program. And that one I actually do have. I think. If I don't, I will have to go find it. Maybe I don't. Yes, I do. Okay, so believe it or not, if you go inside there, and let me run that one through you with you again. I'll do it this way. Okay, so on my drive, I downloaded all of those and unzipped them. So they're there. If you unzip all of the ones under VB.net, they're there. The one I said it was in was Loops Combo Boxes. So if you just download that, it is inside there. Break Val, and then VBNet CIS56, and eventually you'll honestly find breaks. It actually exists. And I have the one for minor, and I have the one for minor, intermediate, and major. And I'm going to click on the one for minor, intermediate, and major, and run that one. And that's a one-way upgrade. I don't remember that being that when I ran it at home. Okay, when it gets an upgrade, it gives you the migration report. Just close that down. And you'll find that it's inside VB. So you just close the thing down that says it's got the migration report. Thank you. So, this is the program that I have. And we'll talk about how it works in a minute. But I have it set up so that you have to click every time to process a record. It doesn't process the record without my clicking, and then it hits end of file. So I have to click all the way through that to make it work. What I'm going to put out there is that I want you to take this code and make one modification to it, and that is so that when I click once on process, the whole thing runs. And I will put that up there. I just wasn't sure I was going to get to it today. Okay. And I may not. We may finish it up next Tuesday. So, here I've set up a whole bunch of DIM statements. When I go through this conversion, it puts in that line that says inherit system, and that line goes in there indicating I've been through this conversion process. So I've got in there a work area for my minor total, that's department, a work area for my intermediate total, that's branch, a work area for my major total, that's division, and a work area for my final total. So I've got work areas to hold all these things in. And then I have hold areas for the department, hold areas for the branch, and hold areas for the division. Okay? Now, I have a file out there that I am calling MIM text. Okay, so I've got this file that I want to read. And what I'm doing here is I'm opening the file in input mode, which means I'm opening it to read. And I am setting all the hold areas to nothing. I'm dumping out. I'm putting empty into the hold areas. Okay, so if I come over here and I go into my drive, and I go, actually I want name, and I go and find this text, and go in there, whoops, clicked on the wrong thing, and go into the program. And I go in under bin, there is the data. So it is stored in the bin with the program. This is my program. And MIM text is the data that I'm going to read. And so it's stored in the bin directory, and you can see that of the program. So if I look at this, there's my data. Okay, so there's my data stored right inside the bin. And when I open it as an input file, that means I'm opening it to read. And I have told it that the comma is going to be the delimiter, which tells the difference between the fields. And I put the data in there, and I put it in as text data when I did this. Okay, so when I say open the file, that's the file that I'm opening. I'm opening that file. Okay. And eventually someplace I'm closing it, I think. Maybe I didn't. I should have. So now I'm coming in here, and in order to read, I say, if not end of file, on 1. And notice on the file open, I had a 1 there. That 1 means nothing other than this is the first file that I'm reading here. If I had a 2 there, it would mean I'm in the second file. I'd have 2 files, and I'd refer to one of them as file 1 and one of them as file 2. Okay? So the 1 means I'm reading the first file. And then I have to go through, and because I'm reading 4 fields, I have to do 4 of these little input statements, which is a real pain in the neck. But that's the way this version does it. And so I say, take the first field and put it into work division number. Take the second field and put it into work branch number. Take the third field and put it into work department number. Take the fourth field and put it into work amount. So I'm basically, input means I will read a record, and I'm taking and putting something into all 4 work areas. Okay? So, then I said, if whole division is empty, and remember I emptied it before I came in here? If the whole division is empty, that means I need to take and put the division number into the hold area, branch into the hold area, department into the hold area. Okay? Then I said, okay, now, if the whole division is not equal to the division number, now obviously the first time through they're going to be equal because I just made them equal, right? So I'm going to get a no to that, and it's going to go down to the else, and the else is going to say, is the branch number equal? Yeah, it is. So it's going to go down and say, is the department number equal? Yeah, it is. So at that point, this is the processing that I want to do for the individual record. I write out the record into the box. Okay? So I add it to the box. Again, if you look at the form, I've got this box set up. Okay, and this box is called List MIM. And I am adding to that box. So it's saying List MIM, the items, add an item to it. So I'm adding a line onto that box. And on that line, I am going to say division number, concatenated with space, concatenated with, and I'm putting out all my data. And I even formatted it as currency. And you saw that in another example at one point, that this is a way of doing it instead of the 2-string C, you can just say format currency. So I formatted in currency. And then I took the amount and I added the amount to all my totals. Take amount, add it to the minor total, put it back in the minor total. Take amount, add it to the intermediate total, put it back. So I added it to all my totals. So that's the end of my if, and that's the end of the routine. When I click the button again, it's going to add another record in. When I click the button again, it's going to add another record in, and it's going to keep doing that. Eventually, I'm going to get to a point where the new record has a different department number. And so I will hit this point where the new record has a different department number. If the whole department doesn't equal to the one I just read, then what do? I write out the department total. I reset the hold area so that the new department is now there, and I zero out the minor accumulator because I want to say zero out the department accumulator. Okay, so I'm zeroing that out. And I've got 2 more minutes. Eventually, I am going to hit a break that is for the division, in which case I will do this, and notice on that one I write out the 3 lines, I reset the 3 hold areas, and I reset the 3 totals. so I reset everything. If there was a branch break, I wrote out a department line, a branch line. I reset those hold areas, and I zeroed out the accumulators. Way up here, I have if not end of file. If it is end of file, then I am done. And I write out down here a message box that says end of file, and I write the last group of totals. So I write all of the final totals when I run out.
What's that BB okay only?
That I will have the message box only has an okay in it. It doesn't have both an okay and a cancel. That used to be the way to do this. Again, this is written a while ago. Now with the message box.show, you would say what one you wanted. But this was the way of doing it, is to say VB okay only. And I don't remember what it was if you wanted the okay and the cancel, but it was something else you put in there. Okay, I'd like you to kind of go through this, and we will see if you have any questions on it on Tuesday. The assignment that I'm going to give you, and you can wait and do it Tuesday if you want to, or you can do it now, is when I run this, I have to keep keep clicking. I want you to put a loop in there so that when you click the button, magic happens and it's all done.
Huh?
That it will write all this with one click.
Yeah.
Okay? And you're going to do that by making a loop. So I'd like you to try to figure that out. Of where to do that. And that kind of pushes you down, so I have to look at the code. Aren't I sneaky? So, I want you to look at the code, but I also want you to fix it so that one push of the button will generate everything. Because it's kind of a pain in the neck to have to press it for every record. Okay, I'm done.